Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Teams who are championship teams don't drop games like this in the first round, and that's a fact. So they better wake up. This better be a smelling salt spot for them and figure it out and then smack this team around and get into the second round playing good basketball. Completely unacceptable loss at home last night. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Yeah, a little tired. I was actually writing down notes last night as the game was unfolding. And
taking notes!
I wanted to remember because, you know, this is the Knicks doing Nick things. And we've all been down this road before with this team, and it's just never easy, and it's never going to be easy. It's one of the reasons why I think they'll win this series in six. But the one thing that I did take out of this game last night that was more apparent to me than anything else, and it showed itself in game one as well, is just how physical the Hawks are trying to play the Knicks. They are playing them physical without question, and the Knicks didn't do themselves any favors last night on the free throw line. I don't know how frustrated you are watching them shoot free throws.
Oh, missed threes and missed free throws in the fourth quarter is really led to that 28-14 or whatever it was disparity.
Yeah, and you know, and you're right. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns disappears in games.
Not even his fault half the time.
I don't know. Yeah, because Jalen Brunson holds on to the ball, and then he has a key turnover at the end of the game. And then the amazing thing is that C.J. McCollum misses two free throws, and they still have a chance to win. And I was hoping, man, that would have been great for Bridges to hit the game winner.
Sure.
That would have been great for him. I'm not going to get on him at all. I mean it's not even about him. It's about even Mike Brown after the game. I'm sitting there listening. Well, you know, we don't get the 50-50 balls in the fourth quarter. This is the second fourth quarter where they essentially collapsed. And we talked about game one collapsing in the fourth quarter, letting your guard down. And, you know, they had such a big lead that Atlanta couldn't overcome it, but that was not the case last night. And I mean, just the some of the bricks that they threw up last night. Again, it's a make or miss league. We always say that. And here's the other really glaring weakness that the Knicks have, and it has to do with Jalen Brunson, who we all love. He can't cover C.J. McCollum. He can't.
No, we know how he is a huge defensive liability. He makes up for it in many other ways. But when he is not dominating offensively, when he's ball hogging, when he's not having these great fourth quarters and these, you know, captain comebacks and all of these things that we talk about with him, you know, it really, there's a microscope on it. And last night was one of those nights. And it was just so frustrating to see some of that crap that we had talked about in the regular season happen again. You know, I mean, these simple things like Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in the pick and roll. Didn't see that at all in the fourth quarter. It was back to Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson in the pick and roll. It was Jalen Brunson trying to be the Carmelo Anthony Jalen Brunson that we can't stand. So, yeah, he deserves some criticism today. And Mike Brown deserves some criticism, too. I mean, you can't have, in a playoff series now, it's enough of this nonsense. You can't have Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns off the floor together at the same time to start these quarters. And you saw what happened in the second quarter when they go on a 13-3 run, when you're kicking their ass. And then you do the same thing in the beginning of the fourth quarter when you got
that's
the game.
That's his rotation, though. That's what he does.
But you got to stop because it didn't work in game one either. It didn't work in the second quarter of game two, and you bring it back again.
Don't you remember?
Make a goddamn adjustment.
Don't you remember, like, everybody talking about Tom Thibodeau and his rotation and everybody getting crazed about that?
Playing the same guys over and over again.
I'd much rather have him play the same guys over and over again.
Sure,
but,
sure, yeah,
sure. I mean, like, this is a this is like last night. You could just feel it. You could feel it happening. You know, and especially if you were at that game, you could feel it happening. How many times have we been down this road before, where there's a guy on the other team that is just lighting you up? Yeah, and you can yell whatever you want to that guy. I mean, I'm not all about that. But at the end of this game, he stands tall, even though he missed those final three free throws. And C.J. McCollum is killing the Knicks. He killed them in that last game, where Bridges leaves him wide open for a 3-pointer in the regular season.
Yeah, no.
Towards the end of the game there, and I'm like, you know, he has got to be stopped. Somebody has got to stop him.
Yeah, and I'm not going to put him in the same category as some of these superstar players that have come in here. I can't. I mean, he's 34 years old now. He's had an amazing career. He played his ass off last night. This is not a top five NBA player coming in here giving him fits. The Knicks left the door open for the Hawks to do this, and I really think, the fourth quarter is the fourth quarter. That is the biggest talking point. But I believe that the catalyst for the fourth quarter happened in the second quarter because they had no confidence, the Atlanta Hawks. They were getting smacked around. Mitchell Robinson had two alley-oops in their face. Yeah. The crowd was going absolutely crazy.
And Anunoby had a great first half.
That first quarter was like, okay, here we go. I mean, he was just going to just coast our way to another victory, much better team. And then the second quarter, you start out with both those guys on the bench, and then all of a sudden, 13-3 run, they're back in it, the confidence is there. And then the same exact thing happened at the beginning of the fourth, and they couldn't hit any threes, they couldn't hit any free throws, and now you have this one-point loss that should have never happened.
All right, so you got, I hear a couple things coming from you. Number one, it's your frustration where you thought towards the end of the season they had figured it out, especially when Jose Alvarado was on the basketball court with Karl Anthony Towns. And that did not happen last night.
No.
The other thing that did not happen last night is basically their shooting in the fourth quarter was horrendous.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, and by the way, Karl Anthony Towns, who had only, I think, three shots in the first half, actually had a productive third quarter.
He did, yeah.
And then was missing an action in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, and it's because he was just not getting, this one was not his fault. I mean, he has been locked in, he's been engaged, he's been playing good defense. When he gets the opportunities and gets the ball, he's aggressive. I still, it's the biggest conundrum that this team has had the entire year, and I really thought it was over with. And maybe this is just a quick step back, and then we're not talking about it again. And because they did figure it out at the end of the regular season, and they did figure it out in game one, and maybe Mike Brown's got something on film to say, okay, I can't be making these same mistakes. We can't be making the same mistakes. But the bigger overarching thing for me is the fact that, like, respect to the Hawks and CJ McCollum, whatever. You're supposed to smack this team around. You got them on the ropes at home in game two. And I honestly think that they got too cocky. I think that the Knicks and Mike Brown got too cocky in this game, after the first quarter. And it was like, we could take our two best players off the court. We could throw these guys out there. It doesn't matter. We'll just keep them out there. Oh, this rotation's been good for us in the regular season. I don't care about the regular season anymore. You can't have your two best players off the floor for extended periods of time when the other team is making a comeback, when you had them on the ropes and you brought back the same bullcrap at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So that, championship teams, don't let that happen. Championship coaches, don't let that happen. Losses like that don't happen at home for teams that actually are championship teams. And that's what pisses me off.
And this is why I say the Knicks doing Knick things. This is the frustrating part of being a Knick fan. They're good. They're really good. And when they're playing at the top of their game, they're exciting. They're fun to watch. And they play tough. And I thought last night, for the first half, for the most part, with the exception of some of the substitutions that ended up giving Atlanta life, it was a physical game. It was a really competitive game. It was hard fought on both teams, but the Knicks' free throw shooting was horrendous. Their fourth quarter shooting was horrendous. CJ McCollum, when he needs to get a basket, he can go right around Jalen Brunson, whatever he wants. And when Karl Anthony Towns is not involved in the offense, what ends up happening? Jalen Brunson has the ball, I would say, 75% of the time, and he's shooting and missing. And last night he had an off night.
Yeah, and something I wanted to respond to, but I got off on something else. When you're talking about how physical the Hawks want to play, you're right. And I think that they fell into that a little bit last night. It was almost like, and I'm going to weave hockey into this conversation.
Bring it on, baby.
It almost reminded me of a team that knows that they're overmatched on the ice. And they know they can get to a couple players on the other team and then get them in the penalty box and then get them frustrated and whatever.
And just muck the whole game up.
And I felt like the Hawks were trying to do that. They were very physical. And the Knicks sort of played into that when they shouldn't have. And that was a big part of the turning point, too, in this basketball game. So, yeah, I mean, the Hawks were They should have never won the game, and maybe the Knicks go off and rattle off three straight in impressive fashion, but this just should have never happened. And, you know, I was also reminded of, you know, we had very similar coaches back in the day, you know, guys who were very straight to the point and would yell at you and all these things. And I remember if we, like, weren't focused or weren't aggressive, they'd throw stuff out there like, what are you playing, tiddlywinks? What are you out there playing, grab ass? You know, like stuff like that.
Yes.
And that's what I feel like the Knicks do sometimes in these situations where there's blood in the water and they're out there playing grab ass. They're playing tiddlywinks. Go and dominate the team. You had them on the ropes. You are kicking their ass in the first quarter. I understand it's a long game and runs and NBA and everything else that everybody says. I understand all that. But, I mean, there's an aggressiveness and a lack of aggressiveness when you've got a team on the ropes that just, I don't understand. And the best teams in the league, if you look around, they stomp on these teams. They stomp on these teams that they're better than. And the Knicks are just, oh, this is that, and rotation this. And let's throw Jordan Clarkson out there, and let's put Deuce McBride out here who has no idea what the hell he's doing. And, oh, let's put Cat and Brunson on the bench at the same time, let him come back. No, kill him. Kill him. Have that killer instinct. And I just, and I know that Cat's been blamed, and that's been pointed out throughout his career that he doesn't have that, but it wasn't even his fault. Last night, it really wasn't.
It's not, but yeah, but when you disappear, you disappear. First of all, you got to be on the court.
Well, yeah.
Second of all, your teammates got to be getting you the ball. And third of all, he should be dominating this team.
I agree.
I mean, he's the guy that should be dominating the team. You know, he and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to brass tacks and you want to talk about where your advantage is, it should be those two guys in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, this should be his series. He should be the guy every night that we're looking at and saying, man, like he is taking advantage of a favorable matchup and we are whooping their ass because he's playing his best basketball. I mean, that's really the way we should be looking at every one of these games. So, yeah, I'm discouraged, but I still think that they could win this series in five. I can't say they're definitely going to lose it, but I don't believe they're going to lose it. It feels like a step back. I mean, it really does.
If you told me that they were going to lose game three, I wouldn't be shocked. Because you know why? It's never easy. I don't remember the last time the Knicks have ever had like a walkover, you know, like where something hasn't gone haywire. You know, and look, it was great competitive basketball. I appreciate that. The physicality in the game was apparent. And I thought early on, like, OG looked like he had been shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
And he made some great plays. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jalen's over there bouncing a ball. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is what happens. Sometimes they get into this, you know, this whole ISO thing, and I can't stand it. And I know that he wants the ball in his hand, and I love that. I love that about him. I love that he wants to take the big shot. Most of the time he makes it. But, man, when he's off and Karl Anthony Towns is not involved, it's obvious what's happening.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, that's the frustrating part of it. And then, of course, you know, the free throw part of it, I just don't understand.
Yeah,
like, how they could be so bad.
I mean, just so many missed shots from three-point and at the free throw line. That was just,
the fourth quarter, they shot 5 for 22.
Ugh.
5 for 22 in the fourth quarter. And they were, what, 3 for 10 or 3 for 12 or 11 or whatever from three-point.
And we love to make the, you know, the make or miss league thing, but a lot of it is the fact it's like taking good shots, you know, getting the ball in the hands of the guys that, you know, are open, you know, and have the favorable matchup. So sometimes it's not just if the ball goes in or not, it's what, you know, it's shot choice. And they were just, it just was so ugly. And the fans, I mean, were like stunned at the end of this thing. Like, how the hell did that happen?
I think we all were stunned.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially in the building, too. I mean, they're showing the crowd shots. It's like, what? I mean, we were ready to coast to a great, fun game two victory. And, you know, you're up by double digits going into the fourth quarter. And then just slowly breathing life into the Hawks. And CJ McCollum doing all this stuff. And we can't hit any shots. And then all of a sudden, bang, loss. What? How?
Well, you know, they shoot 78% in the fourth quarter. And you shoot like 22% in the fourth quarter. That's how.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when you're watching the college basketball, when these teams go on runs, and that's exactly what the Hawks all of a sudden got on a run, and they got their confidence going. And and I often tell you about an NFL football game when you have these momentum swings in the game, and how, as a from a coach's standpoint and from a player standpoint, you know when you're getting steamrolled. You kind of know when the momentum is shifted. There's usually a player or two, and then all of a sudden the other team gets its confidence, and you can't call the right play, you can't call the right defense, you can't get a turnover. You end up giving up a touchdown, and you're very, very close to having yourself steamrolled in a game, and you got to come up with something to stop that momentum. And when it's in the fourth quarter of a basketball game last night, it was. I thought maybe if Bridges hits the shot at the end of the game, you know, we're all sitting here going, whoa, man, that was close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would still talk about, you know, why they were in that position. It should have never happened, and they got away with one. But, yeah, it would have been great if he hit the shot. And, of course, C.J. McCollum, who's, you know, just absolutely tearing the Knicks apart, has this opportunity, you know, to go up three and misses both free throws, and the Knicks now have an opportunity to win. But, I mean, yeah.
How does he miss both free throws?
I don't know. I mean, and then he, you know, when Bridges misses the shot, he basically, like, you know, he collapses, you know, and he's like, he was so relieved at the end of that, McCollum was. But, yeah, I know that we always are so nostalgic about Knicks teams of the past that were good. And, you know, maybe my memories of them are different. But I feel like, you know, when you talked about these teams, you know, obviously the championship teams that you saw at a different level because they won a championship.
I'm just saying about the Knicks of the 90s. This is the same thing.
Well,
yeah, but, I felt like it was the same thing.
But,
you know,
I'll tell you, but not against an inferior opponent. Like that, I never felt like when they had blood in the water, they didn't capitalize. And that's the thing that I was going to bring up. It's just like, let's call it the way it is. The Knicks are so much more talented than the Hawks. They're an inferior opponent, and they should be killing them.
Well, they had been killing them, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like what we were saying the other day. Like, this is a team that, going into this game, game two, we were saying how you have to put your heel on their neck and then press down, you know? I mean, and you just cannot let them up. And whether you want to blame Mike Brown for this or whether you want to blame the players for this, allowing the team to get back into contention, allowing that momentum shift to happen, that's basically what happened here in the fourth quarter.